Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate that you listen to the podcast. Make sure you subscribe and also leave us some feedback. Rate us. Give us a review. Thanks for listening. Hope you enjoy.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to The Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
Andy Avalos is the new defensive coordinator at the University of Oregon. He comes to the Ducks from Boise State. He will call the defense. He's Mario Cristobal's hire, and he joins us now. Now, Coach, yesterday you got a chance to have that introductory news conference, let the state get to know you a little bit. By the way, I thought you did really well. What was that like?
Well, I appreciate that. That was fun. It was a good opportunity to jump up in front and say hello and get to meet the media and stuff, so that was a fun opportunity.
Let's go back to the first time you ever met Mario Cristobal. What was that interaction like, or how quickly did you connect with him?
Well, I mean, just mutual respect on both ends, and we were actually out on the road recruiting, and had bumped into each other. It was with Coach Joe, and we were introduced to each other by Coach Joe, and just, you know, had a quick conversation, but, you know, a good conversation with much respect from both sides.
How good could a defense be with a bunch of Joe Salaveas on the front?
Defense starts up front, and we would be very, very good to go in terms of controlling the line of scrimmage. So we are working on recruiting. We put together another recruiting class like we just did, and we'll be just fine.
The first time I saw him away from football, I was in Hawaii, and I bumped into he and his family, and it was at a buffet, and I texted Mario Cristobal. I said, "Hey, Joe Salaveas at the buffet," and he said, "You better get out of there." And but the thing that strikes you is just how wide that guy is.
Yes, Coach Joe is an impressive human being in a lot of ways, and just very fortunate to be around him and the knowledge and experience he brings. And he's a great man on top of it all. He makes us better in a lot of ways.
Your first coaching experience, at what level do you dip the toe in and start thinking, hey, this might be what I want to do?
You know what, it was when I started coaching at my old high school after I was done playing. I never envisioned becoming a coach. I've always loved the game. I grew up going to football practices. My dad was a high school coach and assistant coach at Corona Centennial down in Southern California, and so I've been around the game since I was a kid, but not really through playing or anything else like that I envisioned being a coach until, you know, I was away from the game, and you miss the camaraderie, you miss being around the guys, you actually miss the grind of it, which you never thought you would. And so, you know, it was probably my first experience back there at Corona High School where I realized that, you know, this is something that I wanted to pursue.
Dad must have made it a positive experience because you don't follow in Dad's footsteps unless you look at that fondly.
Well, it was and it wasn't. You know, in a lot of different ways, but like I said, man, I just really enjoy the challenge, the team, and working together. It's the greatest team sport, and, you know, that aspect of it and the camaraderie is what I enjoy.
We're talking to Andy Avalos, defensive coordinator at Oregon. When I say that, how does that strike you? Like, you probably, when you start coaching in high school, you don't look at ending up at the University of Oregon as the D coordinator as the destination, do you?
No, you know what, it's quite a blessing, obviously, and here in a few months when I come up for a breath of fresh air, you know, it'll probably hit me, but right now we're just going so fast and, you know, preparing as a staff and getting ready for spring ball and getting to know the guys and getting situated here that, you know, just really enjoying it. The first week here at Oregon has been unbelievable. The people here, the facilities are unbelievable, but the people make the facilities, and they have been tremendous.
I've seen coaches or heard coaches say, look, it's my job to put my guys in position to succeed. Do you walk in, though, in the spring and evaluate what you have and then adjust the defense to your talent? Or do you say, this is the scheme we're running, we need to get the talent involved? Or how does that blend work?
I believe that you always have to be able to adjust to your personnel. And then, obviously, you have to be able to adjust to the offensive personnel that you're facing in order to take things away to handle certain situations. But I think it's always you adjust to your personnel. It's the players on the field that are playing and make the defense. So we have the ability to be multiple, and that's the good thing about this defense is we don't have to be one certain front, one certain coverage. We're able to adjust to what our guys do best. And, you know, the benefit of having a bunch of coaches that have been here is that, you know, we've collaborated and sat together, and we've figured out, you know, what fronts would be best to be in to start and what coverages to go with, and that's been an awesome experience thus far.
A couple of years ago in that Vegas Bowl, you kicked Oregon's butt on the defensive side of the ball. They, for much of that game, they didn't do anything. Let's talk about that. What happened that day in Vegas? Because a lot of Duck fans were confused by it, but I had covered the WAC and the Mountain West, and I've seen Boise State do what Boise State does. What was happening that day?
You know, that's a long time ago, and there's been a lot of games and game plans that have come and gone since. So, you know, I know this. You know, there was two great teams competing on the field that day, and from afar, you can see that where this program was going to go with Coach Cristobal's leadership and where it's gone since, and obviously the growth of the program, you know, on the field and recruiting wise, has been tremendous, and that's. You know, where we're going, and that's what we're focusing on right now, and it's an exciting time.
Is it a thrill or an adrenaline rush to be at a conference where you're going to game plan against Mike Leach and Chris Peterson and some of the other offensive minds?
There's no question. It's a huge challenge. An adrenaline rush, that is, because it's a huge challenge, you know, and there is a lot of really good coaches, you know, obviously in this conference, and a lot of really good football players. Week in and week out, it's going to be a tremendous challenge. And so we can only focus on the process, you know, right now, each day at a time, to prepare ourselves to be able to have the opportunity to compete when those times come.
Andy Avalos with us, a defensive coordinator at Oregon. You also have, I have three daughters. You have two daughters, is that right?
Yes, sir, two daughters, Peyton and Paige.
What's that like when you walk in the door after a long day at work?
It's like walking into Coach Feld's office. It is high energy. You got to get ramped up. You got to get ready to roll. So that's a beautiful thing, though, a long day at work, and then you get to go home, yeah. And your two little girls are there, and they're ready to roll. They're ready to play, ride around on their cars, skate in the house. You know, it's hands-on, and that's a fun deal for us at home, and I'm excited to get them out here and get them in school, and they're excited to be Ducks. You know, and we got to make sure that we handle this process right.
I think you have one kindergartner and probably almost a preschooler. Is that right?
Yep. Yeah, that's correct.
That's the boat I'm in. I'm in that same situation. I have to take a deep breath in the driveway because I come home after writing a column or covering a game or doing a radio show, and I go, okay, the energy's about to change when I walk in the door, and you just get attacked in the best way. But that's pretty. And I also do.
There's no question. I'm not gonna lie. There's been a couple times where I've sat in the driveway to get my mind right.
Yes.
But when I hit that door, you know. So I feel you on that. A 5 and a 2-year-old. They are high energy, and you know what? It's the joy of life to see the smile on their face, you know, when you walk through that door and they're ready to roll.
All right, so Kayvon Thibodeau, everybody's excited to see him in uniform.
Yes, sir.
How quickly will you figure out, or do you already know how you use that guy?
Yes, this defense is going to have the opportunity for guys like him, edge guys, you know, to thrive and do different things. And not be able to allow offense to single out where they are aligned, you know, play after play. And I think that's a big deal, you know, as we progress into the schemes and things like that. But right now, you know, KT and all the guys are working really, really hard to prepare themselves for spring ball, physically, mentally. And the thing we want to do to start is create a foundation where we play with great fundamentals, great techniques, and we play with the mentality. And KT has that, and we're excited about him. And a lot of our players are our older guys, our veterans, and everyone else in between.
Was it tough to leave Boise State, or were you ready?
Without a doubt, it was tough. Telling the team and the linebackers that my family had decided, you know, to obviously pursue another opportunity. It was one of the hardest things that I've ever had to do in my life, you know, and speaking to them was very difficult. It was an unbelievable opportunity for us to be there, not only to be a part of that university and to be around those people, but to live in that city and stuff. And so we're forever, you know, grateful for our opportunity there.
All right, before I cut you loose, I know yesterday they asked in the press conference, would you be in the box or on the sideline during games, and you said it's a little early for that. But give, you know, where what's the advantage of being on the sideline? What's the advantage of being in the box as a coach when you're calling a defense?
Without question, there's different advantages. Being up in the box, you know, you can see the whole picture. You can really see the game, and you can see it all, and you can see formations more times than not. You can see a formation, a split, a backfield set, an offensive lineman stance to kind of get a pretty good idea of what the offense is going to do, and you can focus in from up top on the specifics of the defense that are going to be, you know, pertinent to that play. So I think being able to see the game from the bird's eye view up there, being in a controlled environment and controlled setting is a big advantage. And then obviously being on the field, you're in the trenches. You're down there with the players. So it is always usually based off of, you know, just the personnel that you have around you and what's best. What do other guys do well? And let's put ourselves in the best situation and do what's best for our staff.
Yeah, I like being up top in the press box because, like you said, you can see everything. But I don't like when the press box is closed and you can't feel the game. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I like a little crack in the window.
Yeah, no question. No question. Get the environment, feel the momentum, and all those things. You know, there's advantages to both. There's no question about it.
All right. Andy, welcome, and welcome to your family, and we wish you the best. Love to have you on as the season approaches as well.
Yes, thanks for having me. I appreciate it and look forward to it.
All right. Thanks, Coach.
Have a good one. Bye.
All right. There he is, Andy Avalos, new guy in at Oregon. Tell me what you think of that. What impressions do you have? What expectations do you have for Oregon's defense? 503-417-7575. You got the bald-faced truth statewide. You met the new guy. I want to know what you think. And whether or not you think Oregon has everything it needs to compete. I did a national radio show this morning, and they said, look, they've got Andy Avalos, they've got a great recruiting class, they've got Justin Herbert coming back. Would you be buying stock in Oregon? After hearing that interview, what do you think? 503-417-7575. You weigh in. The other day on the show, I asked a coach who came on about pep talks. What is it about a good pep talk in sports that gets us all fired up? And then people started pointing out all the great pep talks that they have. I found a pep talk that that I'm not sure about. Do you know what I mean by pep talks in sports? First of all, let me start here. Like Al Pacino, Any Given Sunday speech, Miracle, Herb Brooks. How about a real-life pep talk? West Virginia head football coach, former coach Bill Stewart. He gave this talk before a West Virginia football game. I got a little bit of audio of it. I like the music.
Hey, we've got a great opportunity. We've got a dandy out there waiting on us. Offense, play fast. Simon Free, man. Defense, swarm. Swarm and tackle. Punch that ball at every chance you get and keep busting. Special teams, lay it on the line. Attack your responsibility. Attack. We got to out-block them. We got to out-tackle them. We got to out-hit them and hustle. It's real simple. You out-block them, you out-tackle them, you out-hit them, and you out-hustle.
Sir.
And you stay within the legal limits of the game. It's Mountaineer pride. Nothing cheap. From the heart. Straining.
Damn, I'm proud to be with you. I'm proud to be with you.
I picked you a good one, didn't I?
Sir.
You got a good one. We are going to out-strain and out-hit these guys. Let them know, leave no doubt tonight. Leave no doubt tonight. No doubt. They shouldn't have played the old Golden Blue. Not this night.
Yes, sir.
Not this night. Don't leave your wingman ever, ever, ever bail out on your brother. You help, you strain, and you just fight. Start fast. Stay on top of them.
It's a game, lad. Let's have fun and go get us a big victory.
West Virginia head coach Bill Stewart talking in front of a West Virginia football game. Reminds me a little bit about, how about Al Pacino? Al Pacino, any given Sunday.
I don't know what to say, really. 3 minutes to the biggest battle of our professional lives. All comes down to today. Either we heal as a team, or we're going to crumble. Inch by inch, play by play, till we're finished. We're in hell right now, gentlemen. Believe me. And we can stay here, get the kicked out of us, or we can fight our way back into the light. We can climb out of hell. 1 inch at a time. Now, I can't do it for you. I'm too old. I look around, I see these young faces, and I think, I mean, I made every wrong choice a middle-aged man can make. I pissed away all my money, believe it or not. I chased off anyone who's ever loved me. And lately, I can't even stand the face I see in the mirror. You know, when you get old in life, things get taken from you. I mean, that's part of life. But you only learn that when you start losing stuff. You find out life's this game of inches. So is football. Because in either game, life or football, the margin for error is so small. I mean, one half a step too late or too early, and you don't quite make it. One half second too slow, too fast, you don't quite catch it. The inches we need are everywhere around us. They're in every break of the game, every minute, every second. On this team, we fight for that itch. On this team, we tear ourselves and everyone else around us to pieces for that itch. We claw with our fingernails for that itch. Because we know when we add up all those inches, that's going to make the f***ing difference between winning and losing. Between living and dying. I'll tell you this, in any fight, it's the guy who's willing to die who's going to win that itch. And I know if I'm going to have any life anymore, it's because I'm still willing to fight and die for that itch. Because that's what living is. The 6 inches in front of your face. Now, I can't make you do it. You gotta look at the guy next to you. Look into his eyes. Now, I think you're gonna see a guy who will go that inch with you.
Hell yeah.
You're gonna see a guy who will sacrifice himself for this team because he knows when it comes down to it, you're gonna do the same for him. That's the team, gentlemen. And either we heal now, as a team, or we will die as individuals. That's football, guys. That's all it is. Now, what are you gonna do?
That is Al Pacino, any given Sunday, right? You get those two speeches. You guys like those speeches? Which of those two speeches you like better? You like Pacino or you like the West Virginia coach?
I like Pacino.
Yeah, it's got to be Pacino all the way. A little bit of a slow burn, but it's good.
Yeah. I like how he says we have 3 minutes till kickoff. The whole clip is 4 minutes. They're late for kickoff, technically. All right. I bring this up because I found a pep talk that a Little League coach in the state of Texas gave to his team. And I have audio of it. And I have a feeling it will divide our audience. Because I'm curious to know, as you listen to this clip, wherever you may be listening to it, whether you think this is a great pep talk for a group of 10 and 11-year-old little league players, or whether or not you think this coach should never be around children again. I have a feeling it will divide us because it speaks to the mentality in youth sports, the participation trophy mentality. All right, here's a coach in Texas talking to 10 and 11-year-old Little League players.
Okay. I want to make this is our last night. Everyone understand, last game of the season. Aiden, eyes on me. I want to make sure you guys remember what our goals are when we step on this field. Jackson with an X. What's one of our goals when we step on this field?
To do your best day.
Okay, not even close. Blaine with a Y. Blaine's not here. Blaine, did you get over that bloody nose you got? Okay, good. What's one of our goals when we step on this field?
We try to win.
I like the second half. Nate, you got another one? Rylan, you don't have any other goals. Aiden?
Get out.
Okay, negative, Ghost Rider. All right. Did we learn anything this season?
Yes.
Our goals, no, not even close. Our goals are, listen. Our goals are to hit dingers. Everybody better have their eyes on me. Eyes on me, Rylan. Hit dingers. Disgrace the pitcher's family. Make the other families, other players cry and stomp their butts into the ground. Does everyone understand that? Does everybody understand that? Look, fellas, look. There are two types of people in this world. There's two types of people in this world. There's winners and there's losers.
And
just so that we're clear, every time we step on this field, our goal is to be a winner. And if your dad has said, oh, it doesn't matter whether you win or lose, just as long as you have fun, well, I hate to say it, your dad's a loser. Okay? So let's get our hands in. That team's pretty good, but we are gooder. So let's go gooder on three. Let's go gooder on three. Here we go. Hands in. Come on, talk to your English teacher here. Gooder on three. One, two, three, gooder! All right.
Jack.
I love the kids at the end when he says gooder. They're going better. All right, I want your reaction to that. Is this guy, is he right? Or should he never be around kids again? 503-417-7575. Phone lines are open. Hit dingers. Disgrace the other team's family. Make the other team cry and stomp butts. And by the way, if your dad says that you're out here just to do your best and have fun, I got news for you. Your dad's a loser. Is he right or is he wrong? You tell me. You got the bald face.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Face.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald-Faced Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald-Faced Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.